Good evening, everyone. You know, 10 years ago, one day ago, that was yesterday, July the 4th, my youngest daughter, Sarah, was born. I was then the pastor of Holland Road Baptist Church and New Hope Baptist Church were on a mission. My wife, Louise, was singing in the choir with two other daughters, Megan and Eleanor. They'll be reappearing a little bit later for a sketch. But Sarah was born, and I wonder if Sarah can just stand up. She's not been on the stage today. Can we just say hi to Sarah, 10 years old, yesterday. And Louise was expecting, like, it was 3 or 4 weeks to go, and so we had visitors. New Hope Baptist Church were here in big number, about 80 visitors, and Rich and Vicky Terry over there, they were staying in our house. And it all happened very, very fast, so fast that I knocked on the door, the bedroom door of Rich and Vicky, to say, I think Louise might be having a baby. And they said, yeah, we heard. Things were kind of moving on very fast. Within 45 minutes of Louise's waters breaking, Sarah was born. Born on the 4th of July, born in the middle of this mission season. And every year since then, New Hope have been back here and our partnership has deepened. I never dreamed 10 years ago that I'd be pastor of New Hope and that David Trenier, a young man who'd shown up in church quite recently, those 10 years ago, would never dream that David would be the pastor, but so proud of David. He's an awesome pastor. If you don't know him, there's so much love for David in this place. Should we just say, you're a great guy, David. We love him very much. Woo! Had a wonderful time in Wales as well, but we're so glad to be in Brighton. It's great to see so many people here. And I've got a Bible reading for us in a moment, but I'm going to ask the question, what is a gospel night? In fact, when you hear the word, you know, people will often say to me, actually, I like that gospel music. I mean, what does gospel music mean? I sense that all of us have enjoyed the style tonight. Is it just a musical style like Motown or pop? You know, we've been hearing about Michael Jackson being the king of pop. You know, is it a musical style like rock and roll or blues or the male voice choirs that we love to hear in Wales from time to time? Is gospel music just a certain style? You know, excited Americans clapping along and we reserved British just looking a little bemused and feeling a little bit embarrassed about that. Well, you know, there's no doubt that Christians across the world love to sing. We love to make music to the Lord. And across the world this day, believers in every nation of the world have been celebrating Jesus Christ. If there is no God, then it's a very strange thing that we've been doing tonight. It's just an interesting cultural experience. But if Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day, on the Sunday, then it makes sense for God's people to gather together on the Lord's Day and to say, we believe that Jesus Christ is alive. And what a difference that makes in our lives. Because sometimes we gather on the Lord's Day and we've got problems. Sometimes we meet together and we're feeling so beaten up by life that we wonder how we're going to make it through the next day. But I tell you what, when you hear a gospel song like that, your heart is lifted and you know there's something bigger than just the little problems that you and I have. I don't want to minimize the troubles that we have, but I tell you what, when you praise God on the Lord's Day and when you gather with God's people, something just happens in your heart. I don't think there's another religion in the world that can make such a joyful sound as those who love the Lord. Our missions partners in Zimbabwe and little churches in the jungle love to celebrate. There are Chinese believers who refuse to be part of the official state church, who want to be part of a true church, who have to worship behind closed doors and fear persecution, but still they love to make a joyful noise. You know, this building has been here for 122 years, and the people in this church community have always loved to make a joyful noise to the Lord. You know, when I came here in 1992, I was seen very much as the young pastor, and we would try some things now and again. I think once we made so much noise in one gospel presentation that some of the plaster around the back fell off the ceiling, so we had to kind of turn the volume down. And I can also remember on one occasion, a young man here called Adam was part of a rap. We think it was the first rap in the church's history. Let's be honest, Adam, it wasn't the greatest rap in church history. And I remember getting 4 brown envelopes through my door the next morning telling me it was like the worst thing that had ever happened in church. So now and again, we made the odd mistake along the way. But I tell you what, I know that the people in this church love to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Sometimes we sing an old hymn and sometimes we'll sing a new song. But we believe that if Jesus Christ is alive, then the best thing we can do is to make a joyful noise to him. You know, gospel music is not a musical style. Gospel music is intricately linked with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope you've sensed the passion on the platform here tonight that we believe this stuff that we're singing, that it really is true. And I want to turn to scripture to say, I believe that the word of God always has a message for us. And if you come to Holland Road, whether the morning service at 10:30 or the 6:30 evening service, there'll always be some music making a joyful noise to the Lord. And there'll always be a message as well, because we believe the message is real. So I'm not going to apologize for being a preacher. Sometimes people will say, don't preach at me. I tell you something, sometimes I need to be preached at. Sometimes I need to hear a message. And I've sat down where you are, David, and heard you preach many times as well when you were the assistant pastor as we worked together. And I tell you what, sometimes I need to hear the word. In fact, I read the Bible every day because I need to be preached at. I need the word of God to come alive to me. You know, one of the greatest preachers in church history is called Martin Luther King. I expect many of you know about him. He's from my hometown now in Atlanta. His home church is just about 20 minutes away from where we are in Fayetteville, Georgia. And we're proud of him in Atlanta. If you come to the airport, you'll see his face there. One of the greatest heroes in the world, in every nation in the world. I want to say proudly, hey, he was a Baptist preacher as well. And it's the message of Jesus Christ that sets people free. In fact, slavery was abolished, especially through preachers who believe that Jesus Christ sets us free. So I'm going to bring a message unapologetically. And I want to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. It's from Matthew chapter 13 that I'm going to read, and it's a very famous parable. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus loved to tell stories, and this is what he said. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And I imagine when Jesus did this that he liked to walk around even. Like, you know, I found it, by the way, since I've left the church, since I left Holland Road, I love to walk around at New Hope. They don't kind of hem me in a pulpit anymore, so I kind of walk around a lot. So forgive me if I do that these days. But he said a farmer went to sow out seed. And I imagine Jesus just kind of scattering seed as he's talking with his friends. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came, whoops, the fans, we've got the fans down, it's blowing my pages all over the place. Sorry about that. As he was scattering a seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. And I tell you what, I don't want to be a shallow Christian. I don't want to be a shallow person. I'd like to have some depth to me. Wouldn't you as well? Say yes, Reese, if you think it's good to be deep. And there's three of us anyway. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. I'm fine, thank you. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. And then Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. Can you repeat that with me, everyone? He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples started, you can almost hear them talking about it. You know, what's that all about then? What does that all mean? And then just a little while later, Jesus gives an explanation, and then he helps them understand what the parable of the sower meant all along. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. You know, when you hear a gospel message, you've got to be smart sometimes and think, you know, I need to know what this means for my life. And sometimes our perspective can be changed by the message that the gospel night brings to us. So what does this mean? And this is what he says, when anyone hears the message of the kingdom, put your hand up if you think you're hearing the message of the kingdom right now. And put your hand in the air if you think this is some kind of attempt to bring the message of the kingdom. Here we go. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes. You might think that's an old-fashioned concept, but I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ, the greatest man who ever lived, the one who Christians across the world believe is God, the very Son of God, Jesus wants us to understand there's an evil one. He says, when anyone hears the message and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word, and we've all been hearing the word, and he at once receives it with joy. That's good. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Let's just briefly pray together. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this word tonight will not fall on places that makes the word apparently powerless, but we pray for the power of your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And so really, this is a very simple message, isn't it? We get the point, I think, all of us, that the kingdom of God is the seed that Jesus sows. We've been singing of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you want to know the kingdom of God, it's about Jesus dying for sin. It's about Jesus transforming lives, giving us eternal hope, and transforming our existence in this world today. That's the gospel message. The seed is sown. But there are different reactions to the gospel. You know, it was exactly 2 years ago when I was preaching in this very place. And a lady came up in the middle of the message. And this is not to be recommended, by the way. She came up into the pulpit. Apparently, I don't remember this. Apparently, I said hello to her. So at least I was being polite to her. But she wasn't going to stay. She was a little tanked up. So we decided to take the entire congregation outside. And the message continued. And 6 people gave their lives to the Lord. Praise God for that. That's still a story that we play on our media player on our website from time to time. But the point is that there are sometimes different reactions to the gospel, and you might even recognize that you yourself have your own personal reaction to the message of Jesus Christ. Sometimes that's when the trouble starts, when we actually hear a message. But first of all, we can see some fell on the path, and that clearly was not a good reaction. Verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and they don't understand it. I remember very vividly about 10 years ago, a man was sat just in front of the Union Jack here. We didn't have the Union Jack then. Of course, that's just for this special occasion. But he was sat just there. It was a baptismal service. Lots of people were being baptized. There was excitement in the house. I gave a gospel invitation, and he was very, very angry. We actually ended up becoming friends because I thought we really need to meet after this conversation because he was saying all kinds of weird stuff. But I remember him saying to me in my vestry when we met out here, he said, you know, Reese, he says, I saw people in your church who were praising God, and he used the phrase, the light of reason hid from their eyes. I'm not sure what he meant by that. I think he was trying to say we're all completely nuts and bonkers. Anyway, I think that's what he was trying to say. And the sad thing, though, about his own life is that he just continued to fall down the stairs in his life. One thing led to another, led to a divorce, led to alcoholism. It led to his life just basically becoming a very sad existence. And I sometimes think, friend, if only you hadn't been on the path. If only you hadn't immediately, not even given the chance for the Lord to come into your life and give you hope and joy and freedom. I'm not sure my friend even wanted to even come close to even imagining the possibility that there could be something in it all. And so because he wasn't willing to consider it, inevitably our worldviews were very different. And maybe that's you. Maybe you could say in one sense, you don't even want to consider the possibility that there is a reality behind the joy that you've seen here today. So there's the path. And Jesus says there's a spiritual battle. Is it even possible that the evil one, the enemy, has kind of blinded your eyes to the truth of the reality of Jesus Christ? Why is it, by the way, that the name of Jesus Christ is the name on people's lips when they're really angry about something and they don't know him? Why is it that his name particularly is focused upon? I believe that there is a spiritual battle about the name of Jesus Christ. The second seed, where did it fall, everyone? The first one was on the path. Where did the second seed fall? Tell me, if you heard the word, on the rocky places. Got a picture here, I think, of the rocky places. It's kind of harder ground. This is not the path, but this is obviously a kind of soil where there's not going to be great reception to the soil. Verse 20, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but because there's no root, he falls away. He doesn't last. You know, in our garden in Atlanta, actually, everyone calls it a yard, but we still call it a garden because we're British. You know, that's what you say, a garden. And we've got some very large oak trees. And there's a piece of grass that just doesn't do very well because of the roots of the oak tree. And, you know, it gets very hot where we live. And we're trying to sort of cultivate and bring some of this grass back. But you know what? With the wind and the rain, it just washes the soil away. There's just a very tiny bit of soil. And I keep trying to put a little bit of sand, probably not enough. And we just can't get that grass to grow. grow in a particular patch because the soil just isn't deep enough. And that's what Jesus is saying. Some of us kind of believe, but because there's no depth, as soon as any difficulty comes upon our newfound faith, we kind of give up. There's just no root. And I wonder if there are some today, and you can perhaps look back in a time in your life when you did get really serious about the things of God, but I don't know, trouble came along, difficulty came along, you started to feel the heat, and you're not quite sure how it happened, but just over a period of time, you lost your passion, you lost your zeal, you stopped doing the things that used to strengthen your faith, like reading the Bible and meeting with God's people. You stopped sharing your faith, you even became a little embarrassed about who you'd become, and so you wanted to sort of keep the subject from your lips. When the heat came, there was no depth, and so you didn't last. And Jesus says, that's not a good place to be either. Maybe you're a backslider. I think of one man who once responded to a gospel appeal here in this church, and he raised his hand. He seemed to be really serious about the things of God. But when I talked with him about what had happened to him, he clearly said, well, I like Jesus, but I don't really like the word of God. And he decided that his political ideology, and he was a very committed leader in his particular party, he decided that his political ideology was more important than the Bible, that the Bible had to fit in with his political ideology. And where the Bible didn't fit in with his political thoughts, guess which was wrong? It was not his party manifesto. It was the Bible that he decided not to accept. And because there was no root, no depth in his life, because he battled over the word of God, and rather than being taught by God's word, he kind of judged God's word and sort of figuratively speaking, ripped pages of the Bible out of his mind. You know, there was no depth, and his Christian life just shuddered to a halt. And maybe that's you. You like the idea of being saved. You like the idea of going to heaven, but there's no depth in your life and the way that you live. Then thirdly, I want to talk about the thorns. That's our third path, the thorns. I remember preaching on this about 10 years ago at Holland Road, and I asked the church the question one Sunday morning, if you would say that your life is in the thorns, that there's stuff that has crowded into your life that's kind of squeezing the life of Jesus out of you, if that's where you are right now, I asked the congregation that morning to identify ourselves. And I'll never forget, some of you will remember too, but 80 or 90 people in our church stood up. I mean, many of these folks, just regular, committed members of the church. And so many that morning just said, you know, that's us. And that was a humbling thing to do. Maybe some of you remember doing that as well. I can remember some of your faces as well. And I was thinking, well, I know these are godly people. I know these are good people, but I know many of us just had to say that morning, you know, the thorns have been choking my life. Now, what are the thorns? Jesus says elsewhere in Scripture, it's the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things. It's just about everything that isn't according to the Word of God. All those problems that press upon us. Sometimes we just crowd God out and other things take over our mind and we lose that passion and that prayerfulness and that faith, and we find that our faith is being squeezed. I don't think anyone ever decides, tomorrow I'm going to backslide. But I think most of us make a series of choices that show the thorns in our life. You know, David, I need to tell you this. Before you'd arrived back from Wales today, I went into your study, and someone gave me a cup of tea with some honey in, which is very nice. And as I walked in actually through this door here, I did something really weird, and I do that every time I come back here. I started turning to the left and walking towards a box where all my pieces of paper were kept, you know, like my in tray. And I do that every time now I come here. I walk in and I go, nope, not the pastor anymore. And I walk on. And you know what I do next time? I walk in through the door, and instead of saying to myself, now, Reese, don't turn to the left, you're not the pastor anymore. I walk in and I walk to the train and go, oh, nope, not the pastor anymore. And I carry on. And it's amazing, after 4 years, even though I haven't been here very much at all in the last 4 years, I still do that stuff. And you may find that you do the same thing in life as well. You just find yourself with habits. You get into a kind of mental repetition. And that mental repetition may mean that the Bible stays closed for a long time. And frankly, there's so much else to do on a Sunday that, you know what? Fellowship gets crowded out. And there are certain things that you start doing, the computer. I mean, let's be honest, quite a high proportion of us can be pretty obsessive. So when it comes to the click of the mouse, or when it comes to, you know, we can just get kind of taken over habitually by the thorns in our lives. Technology can be a good thing, but it can also be a snare and a thorn in our life as well. And we're going to see a powerful sketch. We showed it this morning. We presented it this morning. And I assume that was it. But David said to me in Wales, and then Tim, one of the other leaders, and David from the member of the choir, they kept saying to me, "Reese, I think we're supposed to do this again tonight." So I think we'll do this. I think we'll present the thorns in our life. I want you to think about what are the thorns in your life. And I want us to see that there's a powerful answer for us as well. We're just getting ready for this sketch right now. And this is, if you've not seen this before, this is incredible. This is such a powerful thing. That's the reality that I believe in. I really do. You may think I'm completely bonkers. You may think these young folks are completely crazy. But I really believe that is the reality in Brighton and Hove, in Wales, in Atlanta, Georgia. I believe that defines reality. And the gospel has always begun with our problems. I think the gospel does not escape reality, but says this world is in trouble. This world is in a mess. And we have a choice whether we can follow God or not. But the gospel is good news. And you've noticed that some of the seed fell on the path, and some fell on the rocky places, and some fell among the thorns. And neither of those were as God intended. That's why the world is such a mess, because the seed has fallen on path and rocky places. And there are so many thorns that crowd around us. This morning I talked a little about Michael Jackson. Can you see the thorns that kind of just gathered around this talented individual and kind of ended up choking the life in him as well, and even destroying him? Finally, I want to say that there is a good place. There really is such a thing as good soil, a special place. We might have a picture there of the corn, the wheat that Jesus was talking about. I believe that the gospel, when it takes root in someone's life, is the greatest thing that can happen to anyone, because I know it was the greatest thing that happened to me. And I know there are so many in this place tonight who would say, yes, that is ultimate reality. That is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. You have a free choice. You don't have to accept Christ. But I tell you what, when you do, you make the right choice. You make the best choice. And Jesus says, there's a multiplication, 30, 60, and 100-fold that you receive in the things of God. You know, I believe that if I'd continued my life as a 14-year-old without Jesus Christ, I'm sure I'd have found myself caught up in that same battle in a different dimension. My life changed when I realized that Jesus Christ took away my sin and washed me clean. And I believe that I have received 30, 60, even 100-fold, even in this life, due to follow him. And I believe that there is an eternal life to come that will be even greater as well. I'm going to encourage you, friend, to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ and to believe in him, or even to believe on him. I want to say something to our older folks right now. In our community is one of the most famous Christian businessmen in America. His name is Truett Cathy. He's 88 years old. He's a close friend of Dr. Billy Graham. He's built up a restaurant chain of 1,700 fantastic restaurants. And his company, Chick-fil-A, is noted as one of the top service industries in the United States of America. Truett Cathy's a wonderful man. He's a legend. Probably quite a number of our choir will have met him. He's so personable. One of the local highways is named after Truett. And I was in his office the other day, about 2 years ago, for the first time, got to know him very well. His son is a member in our church and also a great leader. And Truett said to me, "You know, Reese, you'll be amazed what God can do in a man's life between the ages of 50 and 85. And I wanted to share that word tonight as well, because I get the sense that we don't hear that message in Britain very often. I sense often the feeling is, you know, by the time you're 60 or 65, you're really past it, so you better start giving up on everything. I don't know whether you receive that message sometimes, but I want to encourage you to consider what God can do for a fruitful life in those later years as well. Between the ages, if you're between the ages of 50 and 88, be encouraged right now. You can do phenomenal things. Great things can happen, I believe, in your life, so that even the best is ahead of you. If there's someone between the ages of 50 and 85, would you say a big amen right now? Very, very English. Amen. Amen. I'd get a yee-haw if we did that in Georgia. But I want to encourage you in that. Now, if you're even younger than that, Can you, if God can do phenomenal things in someone's life between the ages of 50 and 85, can you just imagine what God can do with someone in their 40s or in their 30s or in their 20s? Or if someone younger than that tonight gives their life to Christ, I think that's the most incredible thing. I'm so glad that I was 14 years old and I had most of my life ahead to follow Jesus. Hey, don't think, you know what? I'll just, you know, being a Christian is for old people. So I'll just kind of live my life, mess up my life. And right at the end, maybe if I've still got a memory, I'll give my life to Jesus then. I might just scrape home to heaven. Hey, that to me is a wasted life. I encourage you to have a life that is a good crop, that means something, that makes a difference. And I tell you what, when you follow Jesus Christ, your life will be multiplied 30, 60, or 100 times in this life and even in the next life to come. Now I would like to test the meeting. I'd like to put it to a vote, if you like. And that's what always happens with the gospel. We emphasize the problems. We recognize the wonderful solution that Jesus Christ has died and risen again for sin. But what the gospel meeting always does is to find out where we are and to be really honest before the living God. We might just say, you know what? I'm in the path. I'd love us to be able to identify ourselves with that. Maybe, I wouldn't encourage you to be proud of it, but maybe just say, you know, that's where I am. Maybe you're on the rocky places and you'd say, yeah, I'm the kind of person that sprang up quickly and I've just fallen away. That's you. It'd be good to be honest about that. Maybe if there are thorns kind of just squeezing the passion for God out of your life, that's a good thing to acknowledge it sometimes. And I think it's also a really cool thing to say, you know what? Right now, there's fruit in my life. I'm alive to God. And I can't think of anything better than being a Christian. I like us to be kind of really spiritually honest right now. And here's my suggestion. If you recognize that you're on the path, then don't just think, well, I'll go up one level to the rocky places. I tell you what, the rocky places ain't a very good place either. Neither, I think, is it a great vision to say, you know what, I'm going to progress from the path of the rocky places, and I'm just going to be in the thorns where my life will be choked out. I don't think that would be progress either. In fact, that would be a disaster. You'd be even more miserable than you were before. Can I suggest, if you can identify a spiritual reality, and if you can believe in Jesus Christ and his word, and if you can see that, you know, I'm on the path, I think it would be a wise thing to say, you know, I'm on the path, and the best place for me to be is to be fruitful in the things of God, to trust Christ, like we saw Kingsley, that young lady, accept the power of Christ in her life. So I'm going to ask right now, can we just bow our heads in prayer? Let's just do that. Close our eyes. Let's have a spiritual moment. Let's be still. The gift of quiet may be a gift that you can receive even this moment. And I'm going to be so bold as to say, can you just ask God right now, just say, dear Lord, in your own mind, which one am I, Lord? Am I the fruitful crop? Is the seed amongst thorns in my life? Am I in those rocky places, somewhat thin and shallow soil, not really rooted in the things of God? Am I even on the path? It's like, I won't even think about it. It just bounces off me. Can you ask God right now, Lord, which one am I? Would you do that? Just try and make up your mind. Just say, hey, Lord, which one am I? Have you made your minds up? I'm hoping there'll be quite a few people say, yeah, I'm fruitful ground right now. I'm trusting in the Lord. Okay, well, look this way right now. Why don't we just, let's just be level with each other and cast off all our you know, Britishness, if I may say so. And just be who we are. Be an honest group of people here tonight. Why don't we even take a vote on this? Let me ask, if you think the Lord said to you, you know what? You're in fruitful ground right now. Would you just raise your hand right now? Just put your hand in the air if you think that's you. Hey, I'm fruitful ground. That is awesome. That's fantastic. That's not lacking humility. The point is that we're supposed to be in fruitful ground. That's what Jesus wants. That is great. Let me encourage you to go on in the things of God. Be strong in him. Watch out for the thorns. And see the 30, 60, 100... percent multiplication, 100-fold multiplication. Okay, who's got some thorns in their life? Put your hand in the air. You say, you know what? There's thorns in my life. Put your hands up high. Well, thanks for being, go on, keep it up there. Let me just have a look around. Hey, thanks for being honest about that. And we recognize, I think every Christian understands the power of thorns in a life. Okay, you can put your hands down. But let me, I don't want to say, well done, pat on the back for thorns. Well done for being honest about that. But hey, get rid of those thorns. Stop being choked and be alive to God. Who's in the rocky places right now? Perhaps the soil is just a bit shallow. Could you be honest about that and just say, you know what? That's me. Kind of rocky place. Anybody there? Thank you. Perhaps we just drifted away from God. And hands down. So, and hands up, who's on the path? And frankly, it's like, you know what? That seed just bounces off me. Put your hand in the air if that's you. Thank you. Thank you. And let me also ask as well, just in case I missed it, who didn't put their hands up at all and you decided to remain anonymous? That's all right. Thank you for you as well. Well, what are we going to do? We've kind of been honest that in this place, we've said we believe the word of Jesus Christ. The word of Jesus Christ is real tonight as gospel seed has gone out. So we recognize there are different responses here tonight. Everyone agree? Hello? Everyone agree? That's right. We've agreed there are different kinds of responses. I hope you will also agree with me that the best place is to be with Jesus Christ. And I want to pray now and give everyone the opportunity to make sure that we leave this place not choked by thorns, not with the seed just kind of with no depth in our life, not with the seed bouncing off our path, but could we even leave this place tonight thinking that we're just like this young lady and Jesus Christ has washed us clean. There's not a battle going on in our life anymore, but a battle in the heavenly realms for us. Can we just do a prayer that sets us free right now? So let's pray together, everyone. Let's talk to God right now on this gospel night. We've got one more big song, I think, to come. Is that right, John? Okay, one more big song to come. So a finale. So just before we do that, let's have a short prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the honesty of this group that's gathered here. Thank you for this morning as well, for those people, Lord, that turn to you as well in a wonderful way. And we just want to be honest and say, Father, this place is not quite how you want it to be right now. And so we're asking for gospel good news change in this place tonight. Father, we still have our wills, we still have our minds, but I pray that we won't be like our friend, Father, who I had that conversation with years ago, who simply refused to even consider the possibility of Jesus Christ. Lord, by your Spirit, may we believe right now. Grant us the power to trust in you by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm going to ask that even now, some will turn to you. So if you want to be the good soil, the good crop, pray this prayer right now with me. Just echo this in your mind. Are you ready? Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in you. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he is my hope and that he can set me free. Lord, I'm sorry that I've turned against you. I'm sorry I've resisted you. I'm sorry for my self-will. Please forgive me. I turn from my ways and I turn towards you. Jesus, please come into my life. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a new nature. Help me to overcome the power of sin in my life. And please adopt me into your family so that I can always follow you. And if you prayed that prayer with every eye closed right now, would you just raise your hand to say, that was me. The ground is being changed in my life tonight and I'm going to be a good crop. You know, that's me. I pray that prayer and I want to turn to the Lord. That's wonderful. Some hands are going up. That's awesome. Put your hand in the air just for a little longer so I can see as well. And I've got one or two friends around the building that would love to give you a little gospel book about how you can make progress in your life. Hey, put your hand up one more time if you'd like to receive this gospel book as well to say, you know what? I want to stay connected. I want to be serious about the things of God. That's fantastic that some are responding. I'm so thrilled. We are so thrilled that lives are being changed in this place even now. A few more seconds. Just put your hand in the air as well. All the other eyes are closed. Got some people upstairs as well. Hey, that's great. If you can come around, that's fantastic. I'm just going to pray a prayer. You can also fill in a card if you like as well to stay connected with us. And you can just hand it back to the person that gave it to you in the first place. We'd love to stay in touch with you because we don't believe it's possible to be a Christian alone. That's why we gather on the Lord's Day. We need to encourage each other and build ourselves up. That's fantastic. You've been a great crowd. I know you've loved the gospel music as well. I hope you've also loved the message too, because I hope you realize that it's dealing with not my words, but the words of somebody else, the greatest man who ever lived, Jesus Christ. But I'd love to just pray for this congregation right now. Can we bow our heads in prayer once more? And if you feel that you need some prayer in your life, no one's going to come up to you at all, but just between you, me, and God right now, if you need some prayer in your life, would you just put your hand in the air right now and I'd love to pray for you? If you just need prayer for something, that's right. Just keep your hand up as an act of faith. Father, those who are just putting their hands in the air saying, hey, I need some prayer. Lord, I pray for your help in the lives of those who are struggling with these issues, struggling with these challenges in their life. Father, bless them, encourage them, build them up, we pray, in their holy faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.